Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 18 through 23. Now, this is connected to what's called the parable of the sower. And I mentioned at the first service today that this was one of the first texts that I preached on when I first arrived here at Pleasant Grove nearly 30 years ago. And it has always been one of my favorite passages, a metaphor for me, this idea of a sower. And I remember the first time that I preached on this text. I mean, I've lived most of my life in an urban area, and so I've never sowed anything, you know. And so I was thinking, you know, the plow, and you got to get that out, and you line it up and stuff. And I pictured this sower just slinging stuff, and that didn't make sense to me. And so after the service, beloved Lois Mumford came. Many of you knew Lois. She passed away a couple years ago. She is from Sampson County, and she had done a lot of sowing in her life. And she said, that's called broadcasting. And you just take the seed and you fling it everywhere because you want the most coverage. And some of it won't take, but some of it will. And you don't know where. So you just fling it everywhere. And that's always struck me. And that's what we do. That's what we do as a church. We're sowers. You know, we fling seeds of grace and love and compassion and hope and forgiveness, all those things. And some places it won't take, but some places it will. That's not our problem whether it takes. We do what we do. We sow. So with that in mind, this is a parable, the end of the parable. It's the explanation of the parable. Really, it's more about the soils than the sower, this part. Verse 18 through 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, if you checked your calendar, you notice that today, August 29th, is what is called a fifth Sunday. Five Sundays in a month occur usually four times a year. And it's the tradition at many churches, including this tradition, this church, that on fifth Sundays, you get spared preaching. And traditionally, we would sing hymns. And we'd have a hymn sing. But given the situation right now, we thought that wasn't the most prudent tack to take. But we will be singing a little bit extra. But what I wanted to do, I wanted to pick up on this idea today of the sower, and that we are sowers of grace. And to kind of reflect with you on what's going to be happening here in this new season of ministry that begins at the beginning of September. Again, I think of church season. Technically, the church year begins with Advent. But not in reality. It begins with Labor Day and basically runs traditional school calendar, Labor Day to Memorial Day, roughly. So we are in some difficult times, some troubling times, some uncertain times. So how are we going to continue to do what we're called to do? And that is sow the seed. And if you know, you should know, it used to be a big banner across the back. It's not there right now. And it says, we are the body of Christ. We believe that is our mission as a church. Meaning, that's why we exist. We exist to be the body of Christ. If we're not the body of Christ, we have no business existing. And so, that's what the body of Christ does. We sow. And we think that how we achieve that mission, our vision of how we achieve that mission, is first of all, to be a place that extends radical hospitality. We reach all, and we invite people to be part of this community. No questions asked. Come on in. If it's your first Sunday here, it's your church. If you want it to be your church, it's your church. We don't have visitors. We just have family. And so you're part of the family if you're here. And I said this at the first service. I said, you know, I've been here 30 years, so, you know, I can't see these things. You know, I hope we are a welcoming church. I hope we are a community where people feel welcome. And if not, we need to work on it. But I did have someone come up, a relatively new member of this congregation, that said, yes, we felt that we were welcome. So that's good news to me. But we need to always be conscious of extending radical hospitality. Once we extend the community, we try to engage folks, that we need to engage folks in ministry. And you'll be hearing some more in just a moment about the possibilities that will be coming up this fall for you to be engaged in ministry here. We also feel like we need to, you get folks here, you welcome them, you engage them, and the idea is that they will grow in depth of spirit. You know, you practice your faith, you exercise, you grow, you develop. So our goal is to go deeper into our faith and into our lives. And you'll be hearing more about that in just a few minutes. I want to give you some kind of just a little bit of a preview of what will be happening in one part of our ministry this fall. And that it relates to worship. Again, this is a very busy time of year for churches traditionally. So it will be a busy time here, even though things might be a little bit different. They won't be as different as last year, but still may be some slight differences from what we're used to. First of all, beginning in October, the first Sunday of October each year is called World Communion Sunday. And on that Sunday, we celebrate our connection to all those other folks around the world that are gathered at the table with us. And it's just a reminder that we're bigger than Pleasant Grove. You know, the grace of God extends well beyond a small community such as this. Now, communion has been something that churches have struggled with during the pandemic. How do you commune safely, but also meaningfully? And we've done different things, and we've tried different ways, and we will continue to try to find ways to celebrate the sacrament. Something that might be happening, we might be doing some stuff outside. We've talked about possibly, maybe at least one Sunday in not too distant future, to have the early service outside and have communion. Or maybe we'll have a communion service after this service, a brief, we'll gather in here, we'll go outside, we will have communion. We're still thinking through that. So that will be coming up, World Communion Sunday. Also in October, we always have Children's Sabbath Sunday, a celebration of children, ministry with and to children. You know, some people say, oh, the children are the future of the church. No, they're the present of the church. I mean, they are the church. And so we celebrate that. And so we will be talking more about Children's Sabbath when we get to October. Youth Sunday. We had a youth meeting just a week or so ago, and again, it was beautiful time, and we're going to have some vibrant youth ministry going on here, and they will be leading our worship service sometime toward the end of October, and you'll hear more about that. November 1 is All Saints Day, and the first Sunday of November is All Saints Sunday, and there we celebrate the past. How did we get to this point? How did the community of Pleasant Grove develop? And we specifically celebrate the lives of those who have passed away since last All Saints Sunday. And I said this at the first service. This summer, I read a book about the pandemic, 1918, influenza pandemic. And the author made the point saying, if you go to any cemetery that predates 1918, you will find a grave in there from someone who died in that pandemic. So I went out to our cemetery after I got back from vacation when I read that book. And I walked out. It took me about 3 stones to find one in the spring of 1918. And I thought about our church has lived through that before. And just all the folks have made this community possible since the 1840s. So we'll celebrate that in November. And then, of course, then we'll move into Advent. And Advent is, you know, so much of the heart of the church, Advent and Christmas, and the celebrations and the memories and the traditions. And we're still trying to figure that out about how we're going to do that, but we'll be doing it. We'll be sowing the seed. So I hope you'll be part of that in the coming months. One last thing is, I've already mentioned the Bible study I'll be leading of the gospel parallels. That's the Jesus story. And so we gather, that's what we remember. We gather, we tell the Jesus story each week, and we try to live into it. So I'm inviting you to participate in that study if you so desire and if you are able. And again, you can always join us. You can try it and then drop out if you want to. No hard feelings. But we'll be telling the story and learning a little bit more about that story this fall and then next spring. Well, I want to stop there. I want to turn it over to Ashley. He'll talk a little bit more about some program things, some ministries that you can get involved in.
Good morning. So in the Gospels, we see Jesus teaching. We see Jesus going off to pray. We see him cooking breakfast, eating around the table, and celebrating in special events. And as Jay said, as we work to be the body of Christ in the world, Pleasant Grove's programming follows that lead. Jay mentioned Bible studies, and we are slowly getting back into our classrooms for Sunday school here at the church. We have 4 adult Sunday school classes, and what's beautiful about each of those classes are different in some way and cater to the people in those classes. And so if you are an adult looking for a Sunday school class, we do have those available. Some are in person, some are hybrid, that will be both in person and online, and then some are just online. So we have plenty of options for you. And then we also have our children's and youth Sunday school starting back. This is age 2 through senior in high school. And what we are doing right now, because we know that parents are a little more timid about bringing children into big spaces, is that we are doing a sign up for our teachers, and so that needs to be done by Friday. If you follow the church on Instagram, which is PGUMC Raleigh, you can, in our profile, you can click the link and sign up each week, and you can also go to our website, pgumc.org, to sign up for that. And hopefully we will soon be out of that and just doing Sunday school as normal. As for our youth groups, I will let you see for yourself what they'll be up to. So as you can see there, our theme this year is loving your neighbor, and we are doing that both with the people sitting next to you in the pews and in youth group all the way to the world. And so that everything we do is going to be centered around that theme. So we're very excited about that. We also have a Quest youth group for 3rd through 5th graders, and we will be getting information about that out to you next week. But we're thinking of innovative ways to have that youth group continue to meet. For adults, while this is on hold for the moment, we do look forward to senior adult lunches that happen once a month, and Bob Starks is your contact for that, and he is your contact if you're interested in doing breakfast with the United Methodist Men at Briggs once a month. And if you would like to be part of United Methodist Men as a whole, we have they plan to have their first meeting in September, and Bill Sperry, wave your hand, please. Will be the person, your go-to guy on that. Also in September, we are planning an acrylic paint event, just for a little fun here at the church. If you're not sure what that is, we actually have one of our own coming in to teach and make your own, basically painting for your house using acrylic paint. It's a very trendy thing right now, and it's beautiful. So I look forward to having that in later in September. I believe it's on a Sunday afternoon. On October 2nd, our plan is to have a fall festival, kind of a back-to-church event, most of it being outside. We'll have food, we'll have games, and so we are excited about that and hopefully being back together again and really kicking off this community together. The last thing, we do have, we started this in quarantine, a Facebook group for Pleasant Grove Prayers, and it's a private group, and it's been really beautiful to see that work as people, you know, as stuff comes up in their lives, they'll post on that, and you know you have this group of people praying for you. And so we will continue to do that, and if you are on Facebook, you can ask to be part of that. But I also want to take that and move it a little bit into in person and have some prayer groups here, so be on the lookout for that. Of course, we have December and Advent and Christmas, and we really hope to do all of our things. Advent workshop, quiet Christmas service, the brass concert, a number of other things, and so we are looking forward to having that for y'all as well, and sowing the seeds where we can. And I'll give it to Chris now.
One of the challenges of planning a music program is most of my music program requires shoving people into a small space, spewing particles at each other. And so I've had to kind of figure out what we wanted to focus on for the music program this fall. And what I decided we would talk about a little bit today is our recital series, which I'm looking forward to getting started. Some of you may know that the organ that we have here is brand new as of January 2020. It was installed, and we were super excited to have it. And in organ nerd circles, they like to have dedication recitals where they bring in a hotshot to come and show off everything that the organ can do. And I had one planned, and then the world kind of stopped for about a year and a half. And so I haven't had a chance to really show off the organ. Well, one of the benefits of in the pandemic is that I was able to take a video camera and kind of show you some of the fingers and some of the foot stuff and some of the buttons back there. But it still really hasn't given the honor. Well, that's a little churchy word. I don't want to say that. I really want to be able to show off everything it can do. So I have a hotshot coming in to do an organ recital for us in October. So the hotshot is, his name is David Jernigan, and he is an ECU grad who went directly to Yale University for his graduate studies. And he's done concert recitals all around the country, I believe, all around the world. And he is currently the organist at Christ Church on Capitol Square in downtown Raleigh. If you're ever by the old Capitol building and you see the church right next door to it, it's the historical Catholic church. And their organ sits way up in the loft on the side, and it's a very perilous fall to the ground floor. I've had a lesson or two up there, and I'm always taking very careful steps. But I went to one of his organ recitals there a year or two ago, and because it's so far up there, and you can't actually see him, what he did was he put a video camera on his fingers and his feet and had it down here for us to watch. And he was like a little ballerina flying around on the pedals. It was amazing. He's quite a fantastic organist. Well, luckily, our organ is not in our loft in perilous position. So when we bring him, we will actually turn the organ around, have it face forward so you can see all the fingers, you can see all the feet, and you can really kind of get a sense of what the organ can do. Yeah, I play it every Sunday, but I don't have the skills to really show off what kind of cool stuff it can do. I've been to an organ recital once where the organist played Flight of the Bumblebee with their feet. I can't do that, but this guy, I can't promise he's going to do that, but he's going to do something like that, and it's going to be a really, really great recital. Even if you don't think you're into the organ, I encourage you to come check it out, just so you can see what it's about. It'll be on Sunday, October 10th, in the evening, I think at 6:30, and we'll get you more information about that as it comes along. We have a couple more recitals planned. For instance, the Triangle Pride Band is hoping to play here on November 13th, and I'm happy to have my Christmas brass concert in December, but all of that depends on spewing particles at each other, so we'll wait for sure to say that we're going to do that for sure. But the organ recital, particle-free, you can come and wear your mask and spread out, and it'll be great.
A vital part of the ministry here and of sowing the seed is our outreach ministry. We can gather, we can have wonderful programs, but really, we're the body of Christ. We got to go out and we got to sow outside these walls. And I just invite Elizabeth Pedersen to come forward and share just a few words about how you'll be able to participate in that ministry in the coming days and weeks.
Good morning. I want to highlight several of the accomplishments, I guess, from the past few months that we've kind of achieved as a church through outreach. In the past few months, we had a collection for Backpack Buddies, and our congregation raised more than $10,000 to donate for Backpack Buddies for children in the coming school year. So I want to highlight that accomplishment and thank you for your incredible generosity. We've also raised this month about $1,000 for the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina through monetary donations, as well as through the food items that have been dropped off at the church. And we have raised about $500 for the Miracle League. So I want to thank you guys for your generosity. Our focus on outreach for the next few months is going to be on hunger relief. So please continue to look for announcements in the bulletin and through the emails and through church services about ways that you can get involved in alleviating hunger in our area. In the coming months, we will shift our focus to homelessness as well as health initiatives. So that will be coming in the next couple of months. For September, as Jay already announced this morning, we are collecting snacks, individually wrapped nut-free snacks that we can donate to local schools to help when we have kids that are hungry. And we do finally have a date for Rise Against Hunger. We had planned a packaging event in April of 2020, which obviously was postponed, and we weren't sure when we would be able to do this, but we do have a date, and that is October 30th. So be on the lookout for more information about that packaging event for Rise Against Hunger. We do have several continuing ministries that we participate in throughout the year, one of those being the blood drive, and our next blood drive is scheduled for October 4th. So if you have questions about that, Bob Starks is our contact for that, but it is scheduled for October 4th. Our face mask ministry throughout the pandemic has created and distributed more than 15,000 face masks, which again is incredible. And now the focus is going to kind of shift away from making masks into making quilts, which will be donated to women's shelters in our community. So if any of you are aspiring or budding quilters, we would love to have you involved in that ministry as well. We are continuing our work through with Great Minds, and we do need volunteers for Monday evenings. So if that is something that you would be interested in, we are trying to continue our outreach through that ministry, and we do, again, need some volunteers. In the coming months, as we move into Advent, we will continue with the Robeson County Christmas Store. Again, in the past, you guys have been so incredibly generous, and we have been able to make a difference in that community. And we also will support Ark of the Triangle again this year. So those will be opportunities coming up as we move into Advent. We are hoping in the next month or two to get Family Promise up and running again. And we are also looking to support refugees, specifically Afghan refugees, as they can be coming into our community. So please be on the lookout for that as we continue to be the body of Christ in the world. Thank you.